Over to you,
good
Cameron.
Thank you, Mayor Walsh, and good evening, councillors. The application before you at 4.1 tonight is the application for the use and development of land for a walking trail and the removal of native vegetation. Officers wish to provide an amended recommendation. The amended recommendation is in line with the existing recommendation, however, proposes additional conditions and a notation as follows. So we propose to introduce a new condition one to the recommendation, which reads, prior to the commencement of use, toilet and car parking facilities must be provided to the satisfaction of the responsible authority. We also propose to include another condition in relation to advisory signage, which reads, prior to the commencement of use, advisory signage must be provided on the trail, advising users of the steepness, difficulty and condition of the tracks ahead of them. In relation to the landscaping requirements, this was an omission from your agenda. So this is condition 9 on the agenda. We propose to amend that to include the word plan after the word landscape. Following this condition, we also propose a general condition which reads, the walking trail must be designed and constructed to comply with relevant engineering and accessibility guidelines to the satisfaction of the responsible authority. Additional to that, we also have the CFA conditions, which relate to the bushfire emergency plan. So that reads, before the walking trail use commences, a bushfire emergency plan, generally in accordance with the Beerbang BIC 1000 Steps Bushfire Emergency Plan number 2, prepared by Jason McFadgen and Bushfire Planning Northeast, must amended to the satisfaction of the responsible authority and CFA, must be submitted to and endorsed by the responsible authority. We also propose to include a notation on the permit where previously there were none. So the notation reads, construction works associated with the approved development must only occur within relevant EPA guidelines. Moving on, so the land at 2991 Heidelberg Kinglake Road is located in the farming zone and is affected by the bushfire management overlay. The land at number 1 Whittlesea Kinglake Road is located in the commercial 1 zone and is affected by the bushfire management overlay. The land is located on the southwestern side of the Kinglake Township and has an area of approximately 41.1 hectares, of which 25 hectares is significantly vegetated. The land is currently used for grazing. The land adjoins the commercial areas of the Kinglake Township, as well as other residential uses and community land uses. Significant consultation has been undertaken by the permit applicant prior to the lodgement of the application. This includes direct engagement with Council, Regional Development Victoria, SES, CFA, Rotary, Wurundjeri and Tungurung, to name a few. Council officers have advertised the application under the provisions of the Planning and Environment Act. This involved letters being sent directly to all abutting landowners and commercial premises on the opposite side of the Whittlesea Kinglake Road and occupants, as well as occupants, and including those landowners in the adjoining Nillumbik Shire. Notice of the application was also given to DELP, EPA and Melbourne Water. No response was received from EPA. However, DELP and Melbourne Water have consented subject to conditions which are included in the recommendation. The application was also referred formally to CFA, who have consented to the proposal subject to conditions. 3 objections were received. The objections raise issues in relation to site management, bushfire management, access and amenity. Conditions have been included in the recommendation to appropriately address the issues that have been raised as part of these objections. Officers acknowledge this is an unusual application, as this type of use is usually conducted on public land. The permit applicants have secured a long-term lease with the landowners and will be responsible for the management of the facilities and their upkeep. The onus for management and insurance of the facilities falls on the permit holder and landowner and should not be considered any differently to any other private development on private land. Should there be a change in ownership or the permit holders or permit holders without mutual agreement, the track will be would be forced to close. The report recommends that a notice of decision to grant a permit be issued for the use and development of land for a walking trail and removal of native vegetation at 2991 Heidelberg King Lake Road and 1 Whittlesea King Lake Road. Thank you, councillors.
Thank you, Cameron. Any questions? Councillor Gerringer.
Thank you. Thank you, Cameron, for that very detailed report and for the recommendation. Can I just ask in relation to notification, because I don't know whether you heard tonight, a lot of people have said that they did not receive notification. What onus is on council to ensure that the people surrounding such a development as this are actually aware of it?
Thank you, Councillor Gerringer. So council's role in this process is limited to the scope of the Planning and Environment Act. We have an obligation to notify adjoining landowners. That can be done through Australia Post, which is recognised as a valid form of giving notice of an application.
So does that mean we have no requirement to check whether people have actually received notification? Is that what that means?
Yes. Yep. Yep. So we are required under the Act to give notice. We are not required under the Act to ensure receipt of notice. The application has been online on our website since it was advertised in early December.
And one of the things I was a bit concerned about, one of the people that attended today actually sent an email to council on the 14th of December regarding the notice that had been put on the property raising concerns about the size and didn't receive a response back. Are you aware of that? I've actually got a copy of an email, and so I'm just a bit concerned as to whether that was chased up or not.
I'm not, off the top of my head, no, I'm not aware, Councillor Gerringer.
Okay. And just one more thing, sorry, can I just one more thing? Just in relation to CFA requirements, because I noticed on the bushfire management plan that obviously Carmelo and his brother are the fire wardens and do not live on the mountain. So what is the requirement? Is there a requirement into that? Because it concerns me, obviously, if there is, God forbid, a fire.
Yeah, so the bushfire emergency plan that's been prepared by the applicants, or by the applicant's consultant, I should say, it's a bit of a tricky one, given that the people that are nominated as fire wardens, at this stage in the project, we don't know who they specifically are. So that will need to be updated as the trust is formed and as the track is built before it opens, which will form part of the ongoing requirements as part of the grant funding that's been allocated to the King Lake Village.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Fraser. Just wanted to speak to some of the submissions this evening. Is there any terms in the recommendation that would prohibit horse riders using the track?
No. No, so we have... Oh, sorry. just going to say, so there is a condition on your agenda. It is condition 4, which prohibits motorized vehicles. So that would be things like dirt bikes and any other type of motorbike. It doesn't prohibit the use of animals, so horses or other types of push bikes and vehicles that are used for transport.
Thank you. And there was mentioned in the report that a cultural heritage management plan is not required, given that there's overlay. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the site is not in a sensitive area under the Aboriginal Heritage Regulations, but the applicant has done some fairly considerable work with both the Wurundjeri and Tungurung tribes to engage them early on in the process so it's not in a sensitive area under the regulations. However, if anything was to be uncovered during construction, the requirements of the Act would be the requirements of the Aboriginal Heritage Act would come into play.
You mentioned that this is a unique application in the sense that it's for public use on private land. So I just wanted to distill any confusion about the advertising process and whether or not a full consultative process is required for such an application.
So not as part of the as part of our assessment under the Planning and Environment Act. It's not. This is a walking trail, but it would be a different consultation project, a different consultation process if this project was being driven by Murrindindi Shire Council.
And one final question, Mr. Fraser. Just to clarify, in my understanding around the advertising period, which has obviously a start and an end time, I just want to confirm that is strictly for the advertising of the application and that there is no expiry on the receipt of objections, and that all the objections heard through the website, through regular channels, through emails, through your conversations, and up to and including the submissions this evening have been considered in the course of your recommendation?
I can confirm they have been. The advertising period started early in December and finished on the 23rd of December. Submissions or the period for objections, once council puts an application on public notice, we do have to give a minimum of 14 days. Our standard practice is 3 weeks, acknowledging that there is delays in post. During that advertising period, council cannot make a decision on an application. We have to accept and consider submissions right up until the point where a decision is made.
Thank you.
Any further questions, councillors?
Pardon me, Mayor Walsh, just to add to that last comment I made, submissions received outside of or after that advertising date are given no less weight or consideration, depending on when they're, if they're received outside of that period, they're considered the same as if they were received on day one of the advertising process.
Okay. Thank you. Councillors, we've got a recommendation before us. Does anyone wish to move the recommendation as amended, as we heard the amendments earlier on? Councillor Lording.
Yeah, as per the officer's recommendation and amendments as discussed by Mr. Fraser. Thank you.
Do we have a seconder?
Excuse me, am I allowed to speak against or...?
Just wait a second.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have a seconder? Oh, sorry. 20. Councillor Haslam. Councillor Lording, you wish to speak?
Yes, thank you. I've been involved in this all the way through from the very start. I think it will inject quite a lot of new blood, new outlook, new everything in the Kinglake area. I think it'll do a lot of good for the whole area of Murrindindi, to be quite honest. Thank you.
Councillor Heslop.
Yes, please, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate the considerations of the submitters of the objections today, but I think that the officers, Cameron, have put in very valid consideration of that, and I think they've covered all of that. And I agree with what Councillor Lording was saying. I think a track of this calibre would be very beneficial right in the heart of Kinglake, and it is better off for the overall well-being with the proper signage, etc. I think it will be a good outcome. Thank you.
Councillors, are there any others who wish to speak for or against? Councillor Geringer.
Thank you, Mayor Walsh. Firstly, I'd like to thank the Kinglake residents and the developer who attended today to speak to this application. I'd also like to take this chance to thank the officers for the recommendation. As a Shire councillor, our council role is to do the best by everyone in the Shire, including residents and those investing in infrastructure. This also means we must follow regulations set out by government bodies, and it is a fight between what we believe and what we must do. What concerns me regarding this development is the lack of information being provided to the community whom it is affecting. Since 2019, Kinglake Ranges has had a huge change in residents, but only a slight increase in population to around 1,600 people. We are a small rural town with a unique footprint, being on top of a mountain covered by many overlays and lacking in many standard facilities that other towns have within the Shire. As a Shire, we do not have the power to force anyone to engage with the community, but one would think it is in anyone's best interest to do so, and this means to allow an open community forum. I must say that the initial engagement carried out back in 2019 was fantastic, but have been disappointed since. I will point out that I have attended the last two presentations with the developer and raised these concerns. I have concerns around the notification to those businesses and residents surrounding the planning application and the general comments that have been received about no notification. The sign for this application was placed on the main gate of the village by the developers and was placed well away from the general public or foot traffic. Nothing was mentioned on social media or web pages, and nothing put on local community notice boards until last week. There is also the lack of any notification in our local community magazine, Mountain Monthly. I have walked part of the trail on an extremely wet day and am very concerned about the topography, the people safety, bushfire risk, the non-resident developers being fire wardens, the lack of emergency services in our area, the trail gradient, and lastly, damage to the biodiversity by using concrete and other permanent products on the pathways and viewing areas. Kinglake is an extremely cold climate, and for at least 6 to 8 months of the year, it is damp, foggy, and a breeding area for moss, which will cause pathways to become slippery. In the summer months, we are aware of what can and has occurred in the past, and I would not like to see the police or any of our volunteers in the CFA or SDF put at risk by having people trapped in this area. It is for these reasons that I cannot support the application.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Gully.
Thank you, Mayor. I feel that community anxiety related to the planning application intent have been addressed by planning officers, if not by the applicant. I want to acknowledge Councillor Geringer's role in assuring due scrutiny of this application. Thank you, Councillor, for sharing community concerns with Council. I acknowledge officers too in their assessment of a complex and unusual application. My hope is the trail can progress in harmony with the community's expectations and ambitions for Kinglake.
Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Lording, wish to close?
Yes, please, Mr. Mayor.
Well, councillors, we have the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Thank you. Carried. Item 4.2, grants
and councillors.
Grants and Contributions Program.
Councillors, tonight there is a report with a recommendation of an additional third item that's not on the agenda that was public in relation to the Alexandra events and truck show. So I'll talk to the first two, Mayor Walsh, and then we'll do the third one separate. Is that...
Thank you.
Yep. So Council facilitates and operates a grants program to help the community develop events and enable community activity within the Shire. The council today, or the officer today from the grants panel, are recommending the contributions to Karami Pictures, Sweet Caroline short film, a sponsorship of $5,000. I would like council to note the following allocations made under delegation, being the Murrindindi Beanie Festival, Murrindindi Beanie and Fibre Festival fee reduction of $240, the Kellogg Lodge Incorporated Dance the Night Away fee reduction of $60, the Lions Club of Kinglake Anzac Day commemoration fee reduction $124, and the Aquatics and Recreation Victoria ARV Regional Conference sponsorship of $1,000 were done under delegation. Grants and Contributions Program is there to support events. It is there to support providing kind services. So a number of these people asked for fee reductions of council facilities. It's for providing services. So, and over time, the grants program has evolved to try to acknowledge council's contribution to all these activities. And the item tonight, I think the third item we want to talk about will be, is where we're trying to identify the costs of providing these services to valuable events in the Shire.
Absolutely.
So typically, the in-kind or fee for service tonight is toward construction or events like producing a film or fee hire waivers for buildings.
Councillors, are there any questions? Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor Walsh, and thank you, Mr. Paxton. So obviously the sponsorship stream looks to derive value for the broader community from the sponsorship investment that the council's making. Can you talk a little bit to the value dividend here for council for the sponsorships of both the film and for the aquatics event?
The film focuses on promoting Marysville and Murrindindi as a destination. It's been produced in partnership with the local school as collaborators in that space. So the panel looked at that and saw the promotion and awareness of Murrindindi and Marysville in a broader film festival setting as a destination of choice to promote it in a broader setting. It was important, but also the involvement of other generations and the school and other groups in providing that opportunity to learn about film production through that experience. So it was considered on the merit of sponsorship and promotion, but also how it builds capacity within our communities. The sponsorship of the other event drew people from outside the region to here, once again driving awareness of Marysville as a destination to encourage that repeat visitation and to make that event more successful. So often the panel will choose to say it's supported because of the return on investment or the awareness and raising of those events.
And no doubt a motivator for the Marysville event was the additional visitation and the benefit for the local economy?
Yes.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Paxton, can you tell me, with the Karami Pictures Sweet Caroline, will credits be given to the location for Marysville so people are actually aware of where it was taken?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ship requires recognition of Murrindindi's role in providing sponsorship to that, which is important.
Thank you.
And have we got some weird animation at the start of the credits, like everyone else has these days?
I
let's move on.
Want to speculate.
Any other questions? Councillors, the recommendation before us. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Lording. And a second.
Councillor Haslam.
Just Gee, I'm getting props from everywhere tonight. Thank you.
Just your peripheral vision is a problem.
That's what this whole thing's orientated that way.
Yeah.
Councillor Lawling, you wish to speak?
Yes, thank you. Anything that highlights Marysville in that area really grabs my interest. And the fact it's being done by a short film with the school kids, I think it's a really good thing to do. Thank you.
Councillor Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think there's a lot of benefit for many groups, and it's not huge impost for council. And I agree with Councillor Lawding. It's great to be sponsoring and supporting youth as well as our area for future drawing in business and awareness. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor. The report outlined some exceptional community outcomes, well worthy of the support of council. I note first the fee reductions for non-profit endeavours to enhance our lived experience and or to achieve most welcome fundraising support for those in need. And to the sponsorship allocations, I welcome the investment recommendations for May. Sponsorship represents a value transaction. On the one hand, promotion and due recognition of Murrindindi Shire Council organisation's impact in pursuit of achieving our community's inspiring vision. And on the other hand, some powerful community outcomes for enhanced visitation or for strong community connection. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Lawling, do you wish to close?
I close, thanks, Mayor.
Councillors, all those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Councillor Gallagher, you might like to depart this room. Mr. Maxwell.
Councillors, as you heard from earlier tonight, Council received a late grant application from Alexandra Events for the Alexandra Ute Ride Truck Show. It has arrived late. The Council has historically provided in-kind services such as bins, rubbish and those elements. Under the policy, the current policy, it seeks to seek recognition for those contributions through and the value of those services. So the policy talks to having applications that recognise those elements and are able to apply for in-kind services. As you heard today, that has come in late. The officer's recommendation, and it hasn't been to the panel, it's just been with myself and the CEO, we believe there's significant benefit to the community from an investment like this to the community. The recommendation for you tonight as a late item is that the late grant application and events for the Alexandra Truck and Ute and Wad Show and provide an exemption to the grant contribution timelines, enable consideration of the late application, approaching event date and regional significance of the event. Approve the allocation of $20,000 from the Grants and Contributions Program to provide council services for the Alexandra Truck, Ute and Rod Show, consisting of waste removal services, including labour, supply of additional bins and rubbish fees, and traffic management support where budget permits. And Part C is reinforce with Alexandra Events the need to comply with grant and contribution guidelines and timing for future applications.
Councillors, are there any questions? Mr. Paxton, how long has the current policy been, or how long since it was released? Probably the best way to put it.
That's a really good question. And I would apologise.
The grant contributions program was, I guess, revamped under the previous council's term. So it would have been 5 years ago.
28th of April 2021. Thank you very much.
That was the most recent iteration. It was first revamped back in 2008.
And that sets out the timelines for various applications?
Yes, that includes the timelines.
And also puts the various limits on the different types of grants?
Correct, puts the limitations on grants.
And isn't it also true that in previous grants, we have had the situation where we allocate a grant but still require the receiving body to, if they use them, to pay for councillor services out of that money or whatever money they care to pay for?
My understanding is that some have applied for it for in-kind services within it, and others, like this one, has historically been provided outside of that process. This is trying to tidy that up and make it consistent. So it is in that transition space of bringing everybody on board. So some have historically combined and others haven't.
That's what I have.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Paxton, do you think that other members of the community might feel that there's preferential treatment being given here because of the late submission? And considering it is the highest amount in funding that the Shire offer, it's not as if it's just part funding, it's full bang. And as I said, we hear all the time, it always seems to be Alexander or EA that get this extra treatment or special treatment. So do you think it would be perceived in this circumstance that that is the case again?
Perception is always an interesting question. My perception is that there's a community expectation for the event and a great celebration of the event in Alexandra. The council also has a budget allocation for a boating event at Eildon, which is yet to be organised. There's money's been put aside for that as a separate event, I believe, in the budget. So I think there is, in a perception sense, some groups would say, is it they haven't done the right thing, therefore they should miss out. But if you ask them, would they actually say that's fair and reasonable given what it contributes to the broader regional benefit? So the perception, it will affect everybody different and the perception of that would be different.
Thank you. In the past, and you may or may not be aware of this, what has been the response from council when we have received an application this late?
A number of people have not gone through.
Okay.
But that's, I think it's where, my understanding is the ones that haven't progressed, where it hasn't been time critical, they've gone to a future meeting. This one we've listed on the agenda as it's time critical for the event that's coming up. So I think other ones have been encouraged to reapply for another date.
And in the past, I mean, I know recently we have changed it, but in the past we used to backdate applications, but we have changed this. When did we actually change that requirement that we would not, or that criteria that we would not backdate applications anymore? Say that we did take this to the
current
June meeting.
So the current policy is 2021, April 2021. So
it's been a fair amount of time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Councillor Hazel?
Yes, I've just got to think how I'm going to word it.
It's got to be a question.
Yes. Is it the case that with events, when council are supporting them, especially major or minor, that the idea is to start off and you have to become self-sufficient within a very short period of time, 2-3 years. This program event has been going for 26 years and they're still asking for the most amount.
Getting past your question.
Sorry?
You asked the initial question.
Yes. Which is it still under consideration, considering how long the event's been going, but they can still ask for support to develop the event?
I think if the event has grown, my understanding, the event has grown significantly over that time. If it was still running at the same scale as it was, you'd probably try to scale back your investment and the contribution. The event is growing, your proportion of the cost is becoming less. So not having a history of the total grants over the time, over the 26 years, the event has grown significantly. I think that is a consideration here, that yes, the ideal model is you provide seeding funding to get a program going. If the event is growing larger and larger, should the seed funding diminish is another question.
Thank you.
That's a good answer.
Just one more question. Is that part in the new requirements under the grants? If the event grows, is the allocation able to be changed?
It's not explicitly within the current policy at all.
Okay.
It's a good element to consider in a future policy if council was to consider a future policy.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, thank you.
Well, councillors, we have a recommendation. Do I have someone who will move? Councillor Rawling.
I'd like to move that recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Do we have anyone to second the recommendation? Councillor Gehringer. Councillor Rawling wishes to speak.
I've been up here for about 25 years, still not a local, but I have seen just how good this is and how many people come here and spend an awful lot of money. I think the Truck and Rod Show is really useful for the whole of the Shire, really. It gives us something that's going on. I do feel that using this medium to get that money across is probably not the right way to go, and I think council should look at some other way rather than force them into the position that they're actually in at the moment, being late. They need to know early in the year what's going on. I'd recommend that we do something along those lines, but at the moment, I'm very happy to recommend this. Thank you.
Councillor Gehringer.
Thank you, Mayor. I was very concerned and still am concerned about council putting a contribution of this amount towards something that has been going for 26 years. What I would like to see in the future is possibly the Truck and Ute Show moving away from relying on council, because we do obviously have a large base of projects within the community. I'm happy to support this one on the basis that the organisers were not aware of the policy being changed, which obviously they probably should have had a bit of a look. But I am happy to support it this year with the in-kind gesture for our officers. And just hope that in the future the event can start to support itself.
Okay. Anyone else wish to speak for or against? I'm going to say a few words. Why not? I find it not so much to believe. I think it's a falling down that the committee didn't know the changes that have been made in the Grants and Contributions program. There's a very obvious link between what goes on in council and the knowledge base of the committee. It was something that I think has grown out of when the Truck Newton Rod Show started. Undoubtedly, past practices were very much on the old boy net and have gradually evolved. But we're now in a situation which, A, for transparency, for legal reasons, and because of the pressures that we face, we can't allow that to continue. I get the feeling that generally there's a perception that the Truck Newton Rod Show is too big to fail, and that may be so, but I certainly don't think it's too big to avoid change. And I think whilst we're in this position, which I find almost abhorrent, I think we're forced to go ahead and support it. But it certainly has to change in its approach and business model if it's to remain viable, because I can't see council in the long run being able to maintain this level of support with the way finances are going, particularly over the next couple of years. So I hope that the committee is prepared to make changes, and they're going to have to be rather radical ones. And I hope the community that says that this event, and I don't disagree with them, is so valuable that the people to whom there is direct value start providing a contribution way more than what seems to have been done in the past. Councillor Lording, you wish to close?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Well, we have the recommendation and we have the motion. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Can we get Councillor Gallagher back in, please?
Is it possible to have a short break since we've been going for over 2 hours?
Very good reminder. Thank you, Councillor Carpenter. Because we're going over 2 hours, we will take a 10-minute recess.
Thank you.
10 minutes. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. The next item is item 5.1, the 2023-24 annual budget. Ms. Nichols, Pitty, please.
So tonight we officers are seeking the council's adoption of the annual budget for 2023-24, following the period of public exhibition and submission process in accordance with section 96 of the Local Government Act 2020. At the unscheduled meeting held on the 5th of April, Council endorsed the draft 2023-24 annual budget for the purposes of public exhibition in accordance with the Local Government Act 2020. The 2023-24 budget has been prepared on the principles of responsible financial management to achieve an operating result that ensures and maintains Council's long-term financial sustainability while continuing to deliver services to the community. The key budget points are that the rates and charges revenue has increased by 3.5% in line with the rate cap set by the state government. This is less than the forecast CPI increase of 4%. The waste charges have also been increased by 3.5% based on the cost recovery. And this includes increases to the government landfill levy, which is imposed on council, and also the increasing costs of processing waste. Non-statutory user fees have also been adjusted to reflect the cost of service provision, and the statutory fees will be adjusted once published. Investment of $55 million to deliver services and improving infrastructure is included in the budget. Of that, $39 million is in services and facility operating costs. And that will include the increasing costs of superannuation, materials, imposed levies, and contracted services. It also included capital works program of $15.9 million. The new renewal and upgrade of the expansion of council's assets. That amount also includes the $7.8 million carry forward capital works projects. There's a list of all the new initiatives and capital works program included in the report. The budget also provides for potential for new borrowings to fund additional capital work projects only if required. At this point in time, Council does not hold any financial debt in terms of a loan. The budget key results and indicators are an operating surplus of $1.17 million, which includes capital income. When you remove capital items, we have an underlying deficit of $3.1 million. Our budgeted cash position of 28.9 million includes our reserves, provisions, trusts and deposits and grants, which is unearned income, which must be held for future purposes. Our working capital rate is 358%. Submissions were sought from the public. The draft budget was made available on Council's website. The public exhibition period and submission process were advertised on Council's Facebook page and a range of publications and newspapers. The public submission period closed on the 30th of April, and the report provides a summary of the 8 submissions received. So in addition to the submissions we've heard tonight from Buxton Progress Association and the Friends of the Great Victorian Rail Trail, we received submissions from Ruth Allwood asking for the amount allocated for street or shade tree planting in Alexandra. We received a submission from Narelle Strubing requesting the sealing of Taylor Bay Left Arm Road, which we also heard earlier tonight. Amanda, I was asking around the asking to resolve an issue around fallen trees in Castella Central Park. Samuel Dean requesting the sealing of the Sale Yard Street in Yay. Foundation Murrindindi requesting information about Council's plans for the use of the Gifted and Novated Assets Reserve. And the King Lake Netball and Football Club, requesting a contribution for the upgrade of kitchen facilities at King Lake Memorial Reserve. All submissions have been provided to councils for their full review, and the officers' proposed responses are included in the report. It is proposed that there are no changes being made to the annual budget as a result of the outcome of the submissions, even though councillors are including support to a number of these applications. All submissions will receive a written response on the outcome of their submission following the adoption of the budget. Councillors, the recommendation is before you in detail. In summary, the recommendation is in accordance with Section 94 of the Local Government Act 2020 to adopt the annual budget for 2023-24, having received and considered the budget submissions, and to formally declare the rates and charges for 2023-24 and giving authorisation to the CEO and Manager of Business Services to undertake the final steps in the process, making the final documentation available and responding to the budget submissions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nichols-Beatty. Councillors, are there any questions?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Nichols-Beatty. I just wanted to talk to a few of the submissions that came in this evening. Mr. Morgan, I think, reiterated Ms. Strubing's request for sealing of Left Arm Road in Taylor Bay. And I just wanted to confirm that there is a plan to engage the community on or to talk to that policy around special charges.
For you, Mr. Mayor. So Council does have an allocation in next year's budget for design work that's associated to special charge schemes, so we can consider that particular road as part of that process.
And Mr. Bourne this evening talked to us from Prince of the Great Victorian Rail Trail about his request for signage, and I note that the officer recommendation is that the council work with the group and include the signs in the annual signage program. I suspect when we're dealing with assets on the road reserve, that would be the preferred channel rather than a grants request.
For you, Mr. Mayor and councils, yes, that would be right. We'll make sure we contact Mr. Warren and have the conversation, and we'll make sure that we deliver on it this year.
In that
financial year. That's right.
He'll be chuffed, I'm sure. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Yes. Just with regard to the funding put aside for the design of Left Arm Taylor Bay, would the design include possible increase in size or just on the works looking at sealing the road?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it can consider that as part of the exercise. Given the recent conversations and concerns, we'd have to sort of consider the road width as part of it. That's part of the exercise, but it depends on parts. I can't give you a different answer now because we have to go for design, but we will look at that. Whether it could even be allocations of passing bays or something like that.
Thank you, Mr. Albuccino.
Any other questions, councillors? Well, there's a recommendation before us. Can I have someone move? Councillor Gerringer.
As per the officer's very detailed recommendation, thank you.
Someone second? Councillor Gerringer. Councillor Gerringer, you wish to speak?
No, thank you, Mayor, as I'm sure Councillor Gary Gallagher will be able to speak for us.
Councillor Gallagher, I think this is your opportunity to show how wrong she can be.
There's no pressure at all. But there's no greater duty for the Corporate Governance Portfolio Council than scrutiny and support of the annual budget. After drafting, community input and review, I maintain that this is a responsible budget. The reality of managing higher cost pressures when income is not growing at the same rate is a familiar challenge to most people in our region. Those challenges are the subject of conversations around the boardroom table as they are around the dinner table. Council's budget encounters a similar challenge. It's my observation that officers at executive level, educators, engineers, customer service staff, and participants in daily toolbox meetings have been heard in this budget development. Similarly, the very welcome community submissions, proposals, and suggestions have been pored over by specialists and council alike to arrive at an achievable workload. I thank everyone who has offered input into the Manager of Business Services and her colleagues and her team for reconciling the competing needs in the budget document. I'd like to reflect very briefly upon some specific ambitions worthy of celebration. That are public health and wellbeing initiatives, additional supporting oval maintenance to support safer participation, provision for a rapid response tree crew to improve council's responsiveness to customer requests, heightened cybersecurity measures to address strategic risk, customer service efficiency for residents and businesses, feasibility assessments for developing vacant council-owned land to support social and affordable housing options, an expanded tree program which will contribute to town beautification across the shire. Our business and tourism sector can celebrate the implementation of SpendMap, which delivers an enhanced capability for council to assess and retarget its economic development strategy. And this budget delivers the fundamentals, as we've covered earlier, improved material quality support, the unsealed road resheeting program, and through its road, footpath, bridge and flood recovery works, council's commitment is to build back better and to improve the resilience of community assets. A key highlight is the $200,000 allocation for drainage management. The budget represents council's very best efforts for our municipal community for the coming year and for future generations. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Carpenter.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be very brief. I just want to thank Miss Beattie for all the work. I can't even imagine all those numbers. And you and your team have done a terrific job. And I feel very confident that this council is financially responsible and we are transparent. And finally, I'm really happy that we're going to have more trees in our shire because that's what we need in our town. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak? I feel a bit like a coach at three-quarter time. We've got to the position where we're well in front and we've got a game plan that should work and get us through to the end of the game. But we've got to remember we've still got a quarter to go. Not so much in terms of budget development, but actually doing the work that the budget represents. We've got a major challenge in overcoming the legacy of the October floods. We've got major challenges in supporting our community through difficult times. We've got major challenges in relation to housing and so many other areas that we've only just started to touch upon. And we've given ourselves a major challenge in the level of work that we've lined up. If we can get this done, I think the community will give us a very well-deserved pat on the back. If we get 50% of it done, well, we might get a pass mark, but we should certainly be aiming to really achieve everything that we've listed in this budget. And like everyone else, I thank all the staff and crew for all the work that's gone into it. Ms. Geringer, would you wish to close?
Close, please.
Thank you. Councillors, all those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Item 5.2, it's the 2023-24 Priority Action Plan. And I think this is yours, Mr. Cheswick.
Thank you, Mayor Walsh. Yes, the purpose of this report is to present the Priority Action Plan for 23-24. Which actually sits alongside the budget, really, because it maps out the actions that council wishes to pursue in the next financial year, supported by the budget, but also to address the key strategic directives of the council plan, which sets out what this council wishes to achieve over its four-year term. The priority action plan, therefore, is divided up into those key strategic areas under the banners of connected communities, beautiful townships and rural settings, growth and opportunity, our protected environment, and transparency, inclusion, and accountability, which really represent the strategic themes and directions for this particular council. So the priority action plan is before you in your attachments and lists all of the actions that the organisation is undertaking to complete during the next financial year to give effect to those strategic directions. Progress against the Priority Action Plan every year is reported quarterly to Council, and the final summary of what's achieved is part of the annual reporting process each year. All the initiatives in the Priority Action Plan for next year have either been included in the budget that we've just adopted or will be delivered within existing resources. So the recommendation before you tonight is that Council adopt the Priority Action Plan 23-24, included in Attachment 5.2.1.
Councillors, have we any questions? No. Would someone care to move a motion? Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd move that Council adopt the Priority Plan Priority Action Plan 2023-2024 as included in Attachment 5.2.1 with one amendment being to reword Action 4.1.2 item number 4 to read survey the wider Alexandra community to determine a preference for changes to the Lecky Park and UT Creek precinct.
We have a second for that motion. Councillor Carpenter, thank you. Councillor Gallagher, you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mayor. I commence by acknowledging the leadership of the people and our corporate performance team for guiding development of the action plan and to all contributors. There are too many powerful actions to mention, so I'd like to concentrate on those actions relating to matters outside a council's sphere of control, but well within council's sphere of influence. So council will, in 2023-2024, be exercising its influence on matters related to attracting primary and allied healthcare providers, driving down the incidence of family violence, closing gaps in local public transport options, access to government services for vulnerable people, and assuring government funding for major infrastructure builds. And very dear to me is advocacy for resources to support our younger citizens from maternal child health through to early education and childcare. So I'm very pleased to endorse the 2023-2024 action plan.
Councillor Carpenter.
I know, I'll just rest on that. What Councillor Gallagher said. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to speak for or against? Can I just say I'm very pleased with the amendment that's been raised. I feel it's important that when a motion is passed with an action by a previous meeting that refers to something that is applicable coming up in 23-24, that we should use exactly the same words. And whilst the intent might have been the same, I think it's important that we use the same words as passed in previous meetings. So thank you for that, Councillor Gallagher. Councillor Gallagher, you wish to close?
Close, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillors, all those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Item 5.3, instruments of delegation and authorisation to council staff.
Thank you, Mayor Walsh. Whilst this is a procedural matter, it's quite a critical one for the council. Under the Local Government Act, council can delegate its powers to the chief executive officer or members of council staff, and it's important to ensure that council has properly delegated its powers and duties and functions in order to avoid any issues arising regarding the legality of a decision or an action made by or taken on behalf of council. In addition to the Local Government Act, the Planning and Environment Act also requires that council appoint directly authorised officers rather than the chief executive officer having the power to do so. We've recently undertaken a structural realignment in the organisation, and that's required a revision to the delegations to make sure the appropriate powers and duties are represented under the new structure. So before you tonight, you do have three amended instruments of delegation. S6, which is a delegation from council to members of council staff relating to council powers, duties and functions across various acts and regulations. You've got S18, which is an instrument of sub-delegation under the Environment Protection Act 2017, and S11A, which is an instrument whereby council appoints authorised officers under the Planning and Environment Act 1987. So there's quite a lengthy and fairly legally worded recommendation for you, but the thrust of it is that you adopt these revised instruments of delegation, and therefore we satisfy the requirement for appropriate delegations and authorisations to be made.
Any questions, councillors? No? Councillor Carpenter.
Thank you, Mayor. I was just wondering if we could actually have the names of the title changes across the director positions.
The names of the title changes, yes. So, yes. So we now have Director Community and Development, which is Mr. Paxton, Director Assets
and Environment,
which is Mr. Vito, and the Director People and Corporate Performance, which is myself.
Thank you.
Tested me there, Councillor Carpenter.
I'm sure she didn't mean to. Any other questions? Thank you. What was the recommendation before us? Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor. I move the recommendation.
Is this one? Councillor Gallagher. Councillor Gallagher, you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mayor. As Mr. Chesworth outlined, this is typically a routine matter to appropriately articulate Council's delegation to the CEO and to authorise officers. In this case, the matter celebrates an efficient realignment of the organisation structure. It's a timely opportunity to welcome the incoming Director of Community and Development, Andrew Paxton, whose reshaped directorate takes in wellbeing, planning and economic development. The delegation instrument also enables us to take pause and to acknowledge the sizable contribution of Interim Director of Community Engagement, Kate Siebert. Ms. Siebert, who ends her tenure this week, has helped immeasurably in the navigation of Council's flood emergency response and recovery, and we are better for her contribution.
Councillor Granger.
I'd just like to reiterate what Councillor Gallagher said. I think we were very lucky to have Kate Siebert for the amount of time we did, and she was invaluable in relation to when we had the floods. So, again, I welcome Andrew Paxton to stepping into very big shoes, but I'm sure you'll do a great job.
Thank you.
Any others wish to speak for or against? All I can say is that delegations are very good. Otherwise, we'd have to have all the decisions made here. And given the time it takes us to make the ones we have to make, I wouldn't want to be doing that. Yeah. Councillor Gallagher, you wish to close?
Close, thank you,
ma'am. Okay. Councillors, all those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Item 6.1, contract 22-23, Kinglake, closed landfill rehabilitation construction. Is Mr. Bain coming to join us during this one? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. So the Kinglake closed landfill requires rehabilitation works to address environmental risks. Golden Valley Waste Resource Recovery Group commissioned a preliminary assessment of the risks posed by closed landfills across the region and ranked the sites by risk. On the former Kinglake landfill site, several high-level risks were identified, so the site was prioritised for further rehabilitation works by council, and based on the results of the site investigation, a rehabilitation plan was prepared that included detailed design plans, specifications to finalise the rehabilitation works. Council has undertaken an open request for tender seeking the services of a suitable experienced contract to carry out the civil and revegetation works in accordance with the specifications. And these works included waste management, sorting, reshaping, recycling, removal, vegetation clearance, bulk earthworks, important cut and fill, drainage works, topsoiling, revegetation. The works may require removal and disposal of some other forms of waste, including participable waste from the site to the Alexandra landfill. And potentially there may be some signs of asbestos, and that is one of the reasons why we recommend such a high contingency. But they'll be identified during the works as we cannot, as we may uncover them as we carry out excavation works. Report provides details of the procurement process undertaken to appointment of a contractor to undertake these works in accordance with the contract 22-23 Kinglake Closed Landfill Rehabilitation Construction. And makes a recommendation for council toward the contract. The proposed contract contingency amount is within the project budget, and the recommendant has submitted a project schedule that indicates a 10-week construction period. However, we anticipate the works will start when the weather is more suitable. The recommendations presented, I'm recommending that the recommendation be amended to include an additional clause. So the recommendation is that council accept the tender for tender one and award contract 22-23 Kinglake Closed Landfill Rehabilitation Construction for the lump sum price of $683,410 to complete the works in accordance with the specifications. Two, approve the allocation of up to $200,000 as a contingency amount to be used for the delivery of the contract as detailed in this report. Three, this is the new addition, authorise the Director of Assets and Environment through negotiation to maximise the use of recycled material for capping and rehabilitation in accordance with Council's circular economy objectives, providing material meets specification standards. Four, authorise the Director of Assets and Environment to approve payment of variations to the contract to the contract up to $200,000, and five, release the name of the tenderer one in the minutes of the 24th May 2023 scheduled meeting. The resolution is there for council's considerations.
Any questions? All right. We have a recommendation there before us. Okay. I have someone move the motion. Councillor Lording.
Thank you. As per the officer's recommendation, plus that amendment. Thank you.
Someone to second? Councillor Haslam. Councillor Lording, you wish to speak?
Yeah, this is a real tough one. Normally, when you look at a contingency of any job, about 10% is the way to go. But I totally understand we're digging up stuff that we really don't know what's under there. So I am actually happy with a 20% contingency, and I hope it all falls within that, to be honest. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm very happy to see that the amendment is put in, that we're considering using recycled materials that's tested and suitable, if suitable, and also that ticks the circular economy direction that the Shire is trying to follow. A good lead, thank you.
Any others wish to speak for or against? Councillor Lord, you wish to close?
Yes, please, Mr. Mayor.
Councillors, there's a motion before us. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Item 6.2, Eildon Reserves Redevelopment Tender Evaluation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and councillors. The purpose of this report is to consider the tender evaluation award of the contract for contract 2221 Eildon Reserve Development. The project aims to develop new active recreational tourism infrastructure in Eildon and activate underutilised parkland in the Walter Moore and Thomas Mar reserves. It will strengthen Eildon's tourism offerings, create a new visitor's experience, provide a year-round affordable family-friendly attraction, increase foot traffic and catalyse private investment in Eildon. The project will transform the reserves and replace outdated infrastructure with new, accessible, contemporary attractions. New infrastructure in the Thomas Mar Reserve will include a wheeled sports space, skate park, senior play space, as well as landscape and fencing. New infrastructure in the Walter Moore Reserve will include a splash park, a toilet change facilities, a venture playground, regional level program, flying fox, barbecue, and shelter, and improved pedestrian link between the two reserves. Initial tender submissions were received from four tenderers. However, one was non-conforming and a second tender was withdrawn. The remaining two tender prices were significantly greater than expected, the expected value and available project budget. A process of review was conducted with both remaining tenderers to determine whether reductions could be made. This process is detailed within the report. The tenders were evaluated against the published criteria and a preferred tender had been selected. A detailed evaluation of tenders is provided as a confidential attachment to this report as well. After review of submissions, the project cost of the project is still above the project budget as indicated within the report. Officers are optimistic that further reductions can be found but require significant more commitment from the preferred tenderer to negotiate reductions in detailed components. For this reason, officers are recommending that council delegate to see the chief executive officer to enter the negotiations with the preferred tenderer, including the final scope of the contract, to a maximum contract value of $5 million, with works to be completed by 30th October 2024. This will allow officers to work with the preferred tenderer to detail to find the extra cost reductions requiring while meeting the service objectives of the project and the project delivery milestones. The report further recommends that council increase the funding allocation from the land sales in Eildon to a maximum of $700,000, making the total project budget $6,130,552. Finally, the report also highlights that council is not just committing to a new project, but there is a significant new asset for the community, which also requires ongoing additional funding commitment from council for its operational maintenance needs to ensure the new assets provides the ongoing service experience outcomes for the community. The resolution is presented for council's consideration.
Councillors, any questions? Councillor Lording.
I've been through it a couple of times, but I couldn't see it. If the land sales give us more than 700K, what will we do with that?
Well, that's really dependent on council. The deliberative consultation process the committee said that the sale of the land should go towards the park or for area of parkland or any infrastructure within parkland within the area. We've capped it at $700,000 in this report. If that occurs, it's really a decision of council what they want to do with the extra funds. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Along the same vein, I suppose, is there's no mention here of putting up a for sale sign and selling this land. I'm guessing that there is a process to go through to actually realise the sale of these properties.
Yes, there is. There is a statutory process where you have to go through the sale of land. I'm not necessarily au fait with that process. Well, I've got an understanding, so that will have to go through. There is work currently occurring to start that process. And that was governed by the deliberative consultation process, which actually the deliberative forum agreed to actually sell the land.
So I sense it's not a fait accompli that there is actually a process consultation and for that sale to occur. So along the same lines as Councillor Lording, what happens if that sale doesn't happen and that the $700,000 is not available for this project?
Then council will still will be committed to fund it through other funding sources.
Thank you.
Once again, in regard to the sale of the land, am I under the correct assumption that any excess has to be spent on the building area and it has to be used for open space areas?
That's my understanding.
Thank you.
I just to further clarify that any proceeds over and above what would be invested in the project would need to be put into the open space reserve because we're actually selling open space. That's a requirement. So, mm-hmm. And that reserve is there to then invest in the future in recreational facilities within that broader area.
As in Eildon area or as in the whole Shire?
Well, it would depend on the regional nature of the development.
Yes.
So considering that, it would predominantly be spent in the Eildon area.
Thank you.
Councillor Gerrard.
Thank you. I suppose my concern in relation to this is, say, as our councillors have said, that this doesn't go through and we are left with having to find an extra $700,000, is there any way that parts of the project can be delayed in relation to that, or does it have to be totally completed within that time and for the $6.1 million?
We can always, that is always an option. However, we are going to contract to complete a project for that value. That's the intention. But that is always something that could potentially be considered. I think the issue is the length of time of selling land will be beyond before we complete the project.
Thank you.
And may also just add to that that I think councillors should be aware that the risk associated with not selling the land is extremely low. So I think we're talking about, you know, the possibilities that are reasonably remote.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Sorry, can I just reiterate that land is so much in demand in Eildon and it depends on how the planning scheme may be changed or the zoning may be changed. Because there's so many options. Sorry.
We rely on council officers to answer the questions at this stage. Can I just confirm, because Councillor Gerringer talked of a figure of 6.1, the contract value is 5.
That's fine.
Are there any
others? That's for this particular contract. That's fine. Yes. Correct. You're correct.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Councillors, there's a recommendation there. Does someone wish to move? Councillor Lord, anyone? Anyone wish to second? Councillor Haslam, that was surprising. Councillor Lord, you wish to speak?
This is really exciting. I'm really glad after all that we've done, we're getting to this area of actually placing an order. So I've been working on Eildon and the development of Eildon for many, many years, and it's finally happening. It is a great feeling. Thank you.
Yes, please, Mr. Mayor. As you said, Councillor Lording, it's a very exciting development, and it'll be a great asset, not just for Eildon, but the whole Shire. So roll on 1st of June. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm confident that the procurement process was followed in evaluation of the submitted tenders. I'm as excited as the Eildon community at the prospect of the Eildon Reserves redevelopment commencing. The project delivers outstanding facilities for the local community as it just as it represents a catalyst for increased visitor economy activity. I continue to harbour concerns that the initiatives rely upon funds from the sale of land in Eildon. There's an extended process to unfold ahead of the sale being realised, and so the prospect of searching for $700,000 in the event of that sale is not attractive. I acknowledge the due diligence that has been conducted, and so on balance, I am confident in supporting the motion.
Anyone else wish to speak for or against? So, Warden, do you wish to close?
Yes, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Council and CEO reports. Do we have any notices of motion?
No, we don't.
Don't. Council Carpenter, do you wish to provide a report tonight?
Yes, thank you, Mayor.
Over to you.
Volunteering is an important part of our communities. We rely on people volunteering in many different groups and organisations throughout our Shire. And the council is very grateful for the huge time and efforts that people willingly give. Last week was National Volunteer Week, and the council held two volunteer appreciation dinners to celebrate volunteerism, thank our volunteers, and to announce the Murrindindi Citizens of the Year Awards. The 2023 awards provided us with an opportunity to recognise individuals and community groups for their contribution and commitment to making our Shire such a great place to live. Around 130 people attended at Marysville, and awards were announced for the Senior Citizen of the Year, and it went to Bob Embling from Buxton. The Citizen of the Year award went to Sarah Southam from Alexandra. The Young Citizen of the Year was shared and went to Alistair Gerry from Alexandra. The Community Group of the Year was the Alexandra Truck Show Committee. At Kinglake, about 100 people attended, and Kirk McCurry from Kinglake also received a Young Citizen of the Year award. Congratulations to all the awardees and to all our volunteers for their generosity and support to groups and organisations throughout the Shire. Thanks also to the people who sent in nominations for the Citizen Awards. Council has launched the Volunteer Hub, an online portal to encourage involvement and participation in the community and to connect people with local community groups that are actively recruiting volunteers. 40 community groups have already registered, and local organisations are encouraged to register. For more information and to discover what volunteering activities are currently open, check out the council website. Community groups can also register on council's webpage for updates on grants, including council, state government, and other grant programs. Links are provided and groups can apply to council if their project or event meets the criteria. Shaping Murrindindi's Future held their project launch this month at Marysville Golf Course and at Bonfire Station in Taggarty. This gave interested community members the opportunity to meet, talk, and explore pathways towards positive futures as they transition away from native forest harvesting. Around 45 people attended either of the days, and they looked at the strengths within Murrindindi and how they could harness these in future endeavours. To learn more about the project, please visit the project website. An information evening regarding the Breakaway Bridge is to be held for the Acheron community at the Alexandra Shire Hall on Tuesday the 30th of May at 6 p.m. Find out about the condition of Breakaway Bridge, the protective rockworks on the northern bank, and the process and next steps from here. Finally, the Council will be hosting an open community meeting at Narbathong on next Wednesday, the 31st of May, between 5 and 7 p.m. at the Community Hall. You will have the opportunity to talk directly with Murrindindi Shire councillors about issues or ideas that are important to you and your community. Each participant will be given 5 minutes to present, and the councillors may wish to ask you questions also. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gallagher.
Thank you, Mayor. As the air cools and the winter ends, the Alexandra community comes together. Congratulations to Kaza Stillman for coordinating another successful Mother's Day Classic event in Alexandra. The event supporters raised life-saving breast cancer research funds. The Early Years Conference, hosted each year by Murrindindi Children's Network, is a premier personal development opportunity for educators and our very young people. I was privileged to be personally involved and proud to contribute. We were reminded on the day what a profound role our educators have in shaping the leaders of tomorrow. The theme of the conference was committing to a vision of equity, which is not inconsistent with our community's vision. And that theme played out on the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Intersex Discrimination and Transphobia, where Tara Peterson led a collection of young people who expressed a sense of validation and welcome at the raising of the Pride flag. The Northeast Forum for Woodworkers, hosted in May in Alexandra by the Alexandra Community Shed and Eildon District Woodworkers Guild, celebrated local talent and local regional connections. The delegates shared stories, good food, and the Alex Group proudly hosted tours of its incredible work with woodworking facilities. And the Traditional Community Wood Auction was held this month. The initiative enables community groups to raise funds by collecting, splitting, and delivering firewood. The event is coordinated by the team at Embling Rural as a gift to the community. Thanks to Andrew Embling and his family, and thanks to those who purchased wood on the day. The third and final round of the Goulburn Murray Climate Leaders Forum series was held in Wangaratta late last month. The session was concentrated on governance, legal and risk implications. Murrindindi Shire Council's own coordinator of environmental programs set the context for the day and was acknowledged affectionately all round by later speakers for her contribution to the Alliance and to the sector. Matters such as planning implication and health and wellbeing were covered by this expert panel. As Councillor Carpenter outlined, this month the Shaping Murrindindi's Future project was launched. The community launch events in Marysville and Taggarty this past weekend brought people together to ponder 2031 and a life after native timber harvest. The events were well attended, and I think the attendees were grasping the scale of the unique opportunity before us to reimagine a bright, inclusive, innovative and promising Murrindindi future. The project workshops considered what needs to change, what better might look like, what mustn't be lost, and what steps might help us bridge the as-is and the to-be. One of the most powerful observations was the sharing of what mustn't change, our rural landscape, our sense of pride in our towns, and people saying g'day to friends and complete strangers in the main streets. The launch was a resounding success. The facilitating officers are to be congratulated and our community commended for fostering a positive, optimistic vibe. Imagine then the deflating feeling for participants who learned yesterday that the transition is not to be a controlled, considered 7-year journey, but an accelerated 7-month program ending abruptly on the 1st of January 2024. I struggle to imagine the feeling of confronting the news for the many local families who are now contemplating a very different 2024 to what they've been planning. I've not heard yet from the Premier, the Minister for Agriculture, the Minister for Regional Development, the Minister for Environment, nor the Member for Eastern Victoria, after extending a personal invitation to discuss the ramifications of their decision with Council. What is also required is an immediate commitment from the State Government of additional funding for the Shaping Murrindindi's Future project, supporting the accelerated economic transition. Furthermore, I ask that councillors call on the Minister for Regional Development to commit to a local pop-up presence in Alexandra, boots on the ground to enable local direct support for those most acutely affected by the accelerated transition. It's acknowledged that the announcement may be causing concern and anxiety to those people, and to them I suggest that please reach out to the Victorian Forestry Information Support Line on 1800 318 182. Finally, on a positive note, I sincerely thank the Mayor's Citizen of the Year community panellists on their recognition of Sarah, Bob, Alistair and Kirk and a worthy community group for their contributions. Along with their fellow nominees, they each inspire us immeasurably. For those seeking a little fulfilment or purpose but aren't sure where to start, as Councillor Carpenter suggested, Council has proudly launched the highly anticipated Volunteer Hub.
Councillor Gerrard.
Thank you, Mayor Walsh. Just a very short one today. This week I was lucky enough to attend the Volunteer Appreciation Dinner with Councillor Haslam Gallagher, Mayor Walsh, our CEO, and some of our executive. I would like to congratulate Kirk McCurry for an amazing job at volunteering in our community in King Lake. I've watched Kirk go from being a very shy person who wouldn't talk to anyone to hugging and shaking hands with absolutely everyone in the room and giving a speech that was fantastic and went into so much detail, and for that I'm so grateful. And I'd also like to thank our officers and everyone for putting on this dinner and for all the people that attended. It was great, and I hope we can do this every year. I just wanted to also speak about recently, 2 weeks ago, we lost one of our police officers in King Lake, who's a very dear friend and ex-colleague of mine, leading senior constable, Rod Westgarth. He was a great member of our community and will be very missed. We did have a police funeral on Monday, which was very well attended. I'd like to give my condolences to his family, his wife Sharon, and his children, Loz and James, whom I know as well. And I just say that people, look after your loved ones and be nice to people, because it's the most important thing out of all of this. Thank you.
Councillor Wilde.
A very short one tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the plating, can't think of the word.
Portfolio.
Thank you. I was going to say performer. I am very excited about the work that is happening within the planning department that is levering off the appointment of our new strategic planner. With this effort, we are poised to clean up some old, outdated processes and inconsistent zoning. This has the possibility of streamlining of the planning applications, thereby decreasing the heavy load that our planners currently carry. Further notification will be posted as we work through the complex requirements of the Planning Act. Thank you.
Councillor Haslam.
Thank you, Mayor. In regard to portfolio matters, the draft Climate Change Action Plan, demonstrating its commitment to fighting climate change, Murrindindi Shire Council has developed a draft Climate Change Action Plan. This will act as a roadmap to help council and the community to work towards net zero emissions by 2035. The plan supports council's formal climate change pledge and policy, which was developed with input and ideas gathered from our community last year. and outline specific actions for the next 3 years. The Council will take to reduce emissions and support climate change adaptation. Actions include transitioning Council's fleet vehicle to electric, starting with passenger vehicles, implementing renewable energy solutions for Council operations and infrastructure, works to reduce landfill emissions, managing bushland to increase climate resilience, and supporting climate action through the broader community. Council is now calling on residents, business owners, and landholders to review the plan, provide feedback, and vote for your choice of actions that Council can take to support you. By providing your feedback, you also go into the running to win one of two $100 food vouchers from Foodworks supermarkets. There's a number of ways you can provide your feedback and vote on actions by visiting our online engagement platform, The Loop, or attending an online information session. If you prefer an in-person session, you can register your interest to be involved in upcoming focus groups or sessions, chat with council officers at one of our pop-up events across the Shire. You'll be on Thursday the 18th of May from 12:30 to 2 at Alexandra Foodworks, on Sunday the 28th of May, 10 a.m. to 2 at King Lake Market, Wednesday the 31st of May, 11:30 to 1 at Yay Foodworks, and on Thursday the 8th of June, Eildon Grocer, 10:30 to 12 noon. And Saturday the 17th of June, 10:30 to 12 noon, Alexandra Foodworks. Now the focus group sessions, they're on from 6 o'clock for food, 6:30 for the meeting. They're on Tuesday the 6th of June at Alexandra, Wednesday the 14th of June at Yay Chambers, and Thursday the 15th of June at Marysville Community Centre. Now, for these, you have to register. You can also get information from our library and customer service centres in Alexandra, Yay and King Lake, or one of our mobile libraries. Of course, you can also give Council a call on 5772 0333. Feedback must be received by Sunday, the 25th of June. The Blue Gums Recreational Trail, it is looking great. They're doing very tricky work now, which is up at the lower gates on the back Eildon Road. This is to build up the track and it will link the path with the Eildon Pondage. There's speed restrictions and temporary traffic lights to help control the traffic flow with the park road closure. Please be patient. It's nearly finished and it will be a great asset for our community and visitors. As you heard earlier, the Eildon Reserve redevelopment, I'm thrilled that the tender has been awarded and the Eildon Reserve redevelopment has been approved tonight. It'll be terrific to see this project finally get underway. There is much exciting additions for Eildon and it'll be a great asset for the whole Shire. Everyone's looking forward to the anticipated completion of this amazing attraction in October 24. The longest morning tea will be held at Eildon Bowling Club on Monday, the 29th of May at 10 to 12 noon. All funds raised will go to the cancer research. It's shaping up to be a great day with plenty of yummy homemade goodies, a trading table, door prizes, and an enormous raffle. I'd like to thank Kerry Malley and her team of volunteers for all their hard work putting this together. Also the Eildon Bowling Club for making their club rooms available for the occasion. And last but not least, the generosity of our community for all the donated items to be raffled. What a great cause and fabulous community come together. Well done. Thank you, Mayor Walsh.
You're not going to talk for 2 minutes. Good. my report. This month has had its ups and downs. It was disturbing that at the recent meeting of all Victorian councils, the most discussed topic was the recent spate of disruptions experienced by some councils in metropolitan Melbourne. No one present denied the rights of residents to be heard and present their cases. But for people to come to council meetings solely to disrupt proceedings and to threaten and abuse councillors and staff is totally unacceptable. A range of control measures were discussed, from increased registration of people attending meetings, or additional security requirements, or moving to fully online meetings. However, I've been buoyed by the comments of all those in our community who have raised this matter with me at functions during the past month. Total rejection of disruptive activities has been the consistent attitude that has been expressed. The so-called My Place activists have misplaced views, and their tactics have no place in this shire. May has also seen the launch of the Shaping Murrindindi's Future project, which will enhance the economic development of those areas of the shire directly impacted by the cessation of native forest logging. Yesterday's announcement by the state government to bring the end of logging forward to 1 January 24 clearly demands an acceleration of the program. However, if the goodwill expressed by the community and the capabilities demonstrated by the presenters at last week's meeting is anything to go by, I'm sure we will be up for the challenge, but we will definitely need greater assistance from those who have moved the goalposts. The two celebratory dinners for Volunteers Week with the announcement of the 2023 Citizen and Community Awards were very successful evenings, providing both the opportunity to thank the many volunteers across the shire and to encourage more people to seek the enjoyment of helping our communities through volunteering. The Ida Hobbit flag raising last Wednesday was another very positive occasion. Some in the crowd at Alexandra were against the occasion, but their objections were far outweighed by the power and presentation of the three guest speakers, Tara Pedersen, Louis Matheson, and Lila Weaver-Galbraith. I thank them most sincerely. I believe we have a message from the CEO.
Mayor Walsh, we do have a very brief report. I'll present on behalf of Ms. Benazi, who couldn't make it tonight. The state government has announced a $200 million allocation over 4 years to fund the Safe Local Roads and Streets program. The program is designed to deliver safety improvements and reduce road trauma on local roads. The program will focus on higher risk local roads and intersections. And given that Murrindindi Shire does have a relatively high per capita road accident rate, we have expressed interest in being in the first group of 10 councils to be part of this funding program, and also to be represented on the program reference group for this funding, for the funding. And we're currently waiting on the outcome. During the month, we received state government funding to assist in planning for the future of children's services in the Shire. Firstly, we received $42,000 as part of the state's review of kindergarten service and infrastructure planning. The project will enable our local children's services sector to assess the current supply and demand for funded kindergarten across the Shire, forecast demand for 3 and 4 year old kindergarten, and examine how demand growth may be accommodated in the future, either through current or expanded service provision and infrastructure. Secondly, we received $40,000 from the state government to assist us in attracting and retaining workers in the local early years workforce. We know that access to early years services is a key consideration of families considering moving to Murrindindi, and these grants will assist in supporting this important sector.
Thank you, Mr. Chiswick. Item number 8, record of council briefing sessions. Can I have someone move the recommendation, please? Councillor Gerringer, someone second. Councillor Carpenter, all those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Item number 9, ceiling register. Can I have someone move the recommendation? Councillor Carpenter, someone second. Councillor Gerringer, all those in favour? Thank you. Carried. And that brings us to the end of the meeting at 9:29 p.m. Please close the link.